20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, friends. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Whether you're listening on an audio feed or whether you're over on YouTube, make sure to do us a huge favor. Hit that subscribe button. Also, while you're at it, make sure to like, comment, and give those five-star reviews. That helps us a ton. Also, speaking of helping us a ton, huge shout out to SpookyWRX for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Make sure to check out those YouTube memberships as well when you have a chance. But again, as usual, more than anything, thank you so much for joining us as we are here for you 365 days a year. Today, we're going to be going over restricted free agency, exclusive rights free agents, as well as some playing time escalators and a few players that maybe I could have brought up on our potential cuts episode as well. Let's jump into that actually right here, right now. We're going to talk about playing time escalators. Now, for playing time escalators, what this is, if you are a rookie, you sign a four-year deal. If you're a first-round pick, you get a four-year deal plus a fifth-year option. All right. Anything second through seventh round, you get a four-year contract. First-round picks do not get the benefit of this because they get the fifth-year option potentially. But players drafted round second through seventh have the potential to get playing time escalators in their third year to give them a escalator in their contract in year four. And three Packers, Carl Brooks, Dontavian Wicks, and Carrington Valentine, hit those escalators. And what that means is their very minimal salary, especially for sixth and seventh round picks like Carl Brooks, Carrington Valentine, and a fifth round pick like Dontavian Wicks, goes from like $1 million-ish to $3.6 million. And Justice Mosqueda and I have talked about this in the past, where the NFL has made a major mistake with these escalators. The escalators are really fun and really smart in theory for the player. I get a raise. I go from $1 million to $3.6 million. I'm tripling my salary. That sounds like a really good idea, except for the fact that that escalator does not guarantee in any way, shape, or form, which means you go from, yes, a $1 million salary to a $3.6 million salary, but if you're not quite worth a $3.6 million salary, you now become much more cuttable. And basically, when you are a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick, a late round pick, that signing bonus that you initially get that's prorated over 4 years is very minimal, which means that teams can actually move off of that entire, almost entire $3.6 million deal and save all of it in cap space. So for Carl Brooks, Dontavian Wicks, and Carrington Valentine, for the here and the now, it's awesome. But if Green Bay gets through training camp and is like, this guy's actually not playing as well as I expected or not worth $3.6 million, all of a sudden, they end up on the chopping block because they can't make the team at $3.6 million. They probably would have made it at $1.2 million. But when you escalate that times three, all of a sudden, it becomes a much bigger issue. Dontavian Wicks is the easy one to discuss here. I think he's back probably no matter what. He is worth a one-year $3.6 million deal. I think anyone could easily argue that. The only caveat to that, I would say, is let's say you, of course, have Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Matthew Golden, Savion Williams, right? You've got four. Let's say Green Bay does draft a wide receiver in the fourth round and they look amazing. And let's say you found an undrafted free agent that looks pretty darn good. Maybe another, you know, Malik Heath, or maybe another, you know, Geronimo Allison type player that you feel like, oh, they could easily be a number six wide receiver. Jared Boykins, another example of that. If you got somebody like that, you got a good fourth round pick and you had your four established already, you could get to the end of camp and be like, do we really need Dontavian Wicks on a $3.6 million deal? I think the answer is probably yes. And even if it's not, you're probably looking at a trade at that point. I think he probably has trade value, even if it's for a seventh round pick. But it does get a little bit more interesting if all of a sudden you've got some good wide receivers in camp that show up that maybe you weren't expecting, or drafted a couple of players that were there because they were best player on the board. Now Dontavian Wicks' $3.6 million deal looks a lot different. So I think he's probably back. Again, I don't think he has anything to be concerned about. He's going to make this team as a number probably three to four wide receiver. But it's an interesting discussion nonetheless. The other two, a lot more interesting. Carl Brooks. Now, Carl Brooks played a lot of snaps this past year. Those were not good snaps for the most part. Now, he put in a lot of work, and that's going to wear you down, and you're not going to be able to play at your best when you're playing a ton of snaps, but it was not what you would have expected. And really, if you kind of look at the Carl Brooks experience, he kind of peaked as a rookie, and then it's kind of just been taking steps back ever since, at least from an impact standpoint. Now, on a final $1.2 million deal on his contract, are you keeping him around as a fourth or fifth defensive tackle? No question about it. It's a no-brainer. But you escalate that to $3.6 million, and that's a totally different story. So I actually think that Carl Brooks, because of this, very much works his way into the do you cut this guy at the end of training camp and save money category. Now, Green Bay is going to have to build their depth at defensive tackle. It's already a question mark. If they can't find a couple guys that are able to step in, then you probably just keep him by default. But if you do find a couple players to go along with Devontae Wyatt, Colby Wooden, Warren Brinson, Nasir Stackhouse, and now, you know, when you look at those training camp battles, right? Nasir Stackhouse, Warren Brinson make, you know, $2.8 million less or $2.6 million less than what Carl Brooks does. That's an advantage for those other players. And that, again, gets to this tricky situation where some of these roster battles, it just comes down to money. And yes, it's great that you got that increase, but now if you're looking apples to apples, now I have more of a target on me to get cut because my salary's bigger. So it's a really interesting sort of situation. And I think Carl Brooks could find himself in that situation. And then the last one is Carrington Valentine. Probably worth a one-year $3.6 million deal, even if he ends up being your number three, four corner, somewhere in that range. If he's a starter, it's a no-brainer. But I think Green Bay kind of got sick a little bit of the Carrington Valentine experience and the lack of tackling and physicality. And if that's the case, similar to the conversation we had with, you know, Dontayvion Wicks, all of a sudden, let's say Nate Hobbs is back. Let's say Keyshawn Nixon is back. Let's say Kamal Haddon looks good and they draft two corners. Bo Melton's still there as a potential emergency corner. All of a sudden, you're looking at Carrington Valentine at 3.6 and you're like, I don't know if I need Carrington Valentine at $3.6 million. That's another really interesting conversation. If Valentine's on a one-year $1.2 million deal, sure, absolutely. That makes it easy. 0.6 is totally different, and you could find some cost savings by maybe going in a different direction. So I think Wicks is probably the fine one, but all three of them, Brooks, Wicks, and Valentine, awesome that they get an increase, but just know there's more pressure on you now to make the team, because if there's somebody that's equal to you or near equal to you, and they're making a third of what you're making or less, guess what? You're probably going elsewhere and they're not. So a little bit more heat on Carl Brooks, Dontayvion Wicks, and Carrington Valentine because their contract basically tripled. All right, that does it for Playing Time Escalators. Always an interesting conversation each year when you kind of get into some of those and be like, all right, what do you want to do? Like it actually might hurt them, but let's get to exclusive rights free agents. Four exclusive rights free agents for Green Bay. One of these is extremely simple, and that's Bo Melton. Easy, easy decision. You might look some places, he might show as a restricted free agent. He is an exclusive rights. And so if you're not familiar, two forms of restricted free agency, pure restricted free agency, and then it's not truly restricted, but I kind of consider it. Exclusive rights free agent is a contract where the only team that has rights to the player is you. And what it really means is the player has no rights. They can't negotiate with any other team. They can't really negotiate with the Packers. They are given a vet minimum contract for their established years that they've been in the league, and that's all they get, and it's not guaranteed. It's a good deal for the team, and it's a bad deal for the player, but it is what it is, and that's what you have to take in that situation, and the team owns those rights. So there's nothing really the player can do. So if the player is wanted back by the team, it's a no-brainer for the team. It's just, yes, you could not possibly get them any cheaper. This is the cheapest deal that you could get for a player with their experience. So the four, we talked about Bo Melton. It's an easy no-brainer. They'll bring him back as an exclusive rights free agent. Bare minimum deal. He can play corner. He can play wide receiver. He's a special teams guru. That's what you're looking for. The other three, one of them should be obvious, I think. Kamal Haddon. Now, the interesting thing about Haddon is he's got about a 4 to 5 month recovery with a broken tibia and fibula. Now, we're in January, February, March, April, May to June. He should be good to go by training camp. Easy for me to say, but based on the timeline, should be good to go by training camp. And if that's so, he was looking good. At one point, he even replaced Carrington Valentine at the end of the year. I think it's a no-brainer. There's really no downside. There's no guarantees. So if you want to release him later, you can. I would think Kamal Haddon's the next most obvious one. Donovan Jennings, you've put a couple of years into him already. Bring him back on the exclusive rights deal. It doesn't mean he has to make the team. Again, there's no guarantees here. So of course, bring him back to compete in training camp. If he looks great, awesome. If he doesn't, probably time to move on. The one that I would say is maybe a little bit more up in the air is Lasita Smith. And it just depends. Do you want him on your 90-man roster? If you do, easy. You sign him to that vet minimum deal and he signs it. If not, you just rescind it and he becomes an unrestricted free agent. I would expect Bo Melton, Donovan Jennings, Kamal Haddon, all get the exclusive rights tender, all sign it. Lasita Smith a little bit more up for grabs. They want him back. They do. If not, they don't. Kind of as simple as that. We'll be right back. Hey friends, the big game is almost here, and there's no better way to cash in during America's biggest sporting event than Prize Picks, where it always feels good to be right. And since the big game is right around the corner, it also means that it's your last chance to get into the football action before next season. So close the season out with Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Now, we've been talking about Prize Picks all season long, and what I've really enjoyed are the stories from fans who've played Daily Fantasy for the first time, who've won a big pick, and who've told me how much they enjoy playing Prize Picks. Now, I've heard some awesome winning stories all season long, and you still have time to get in this football season to get some big wins with Prize Picks. Now, with Prize Picks, you don't need to wait until next year's fantasy draft to keep playing fantasy. Prize Picks lets you play fantasy football every week, even in the playoffs. Pick your favorite players and win when they hit their projections every week, no draft required. So join millions of users and sign up for America's number one sports app, Prize Picks. And right now, you can download the Prize Picks app and use code Packaday to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's code Packaday to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Hey friends, sometimes life can feel like a big puzzle. You're constantly trying to fit all the pieces together, your career, your passions, your relationships, your finances, and of course, your healthcare. It's a lot. But finding care shouldn't be the trickiest piece to fit into everything that's going on in your life. That's why ZocDoc makes it easy to find and book an appointment with a doctor that you'll love. ZocDoc is a free app and website that helps you find and book high-quality in-network doctors so you can find someone that you love. Whether you're looking for dermatology, dentistry, primary care, eye care, or one of the 200-plus specialties offered on ZocDoc, you can easily search by specialty or symptom to build the care team that's right for you. The next time I'm in need of healthcare, you can bet the first place that I'll be going to is ZocDoc. It's incredibly easy to use and makes finding a reliable doctor a breeze. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/Packaday to find and instantly book a doctor that you love today. That's ZocDoc.com/Packaday. ZocDoc.com/Packaday. Thanks to ZocDoc for sponsoring this message. That brings us to restricted free agency. And Green Bay has what I would consider, I think, really easy decisions almost across the board, but it almost creates unique slash complicated situations based on that decision. All right. So what you need to know about restricted free agency is the player's rights are owned by the team. However, the team is required to give the player a tender. And there are four options. The first is a first round tender, which means you are offering them a one-year, $7.89 million deal. And they can accept it or they can decline it and try to negotiate something else. But if they go somewhere else and sign an offer sheet somewhere else after you give them that first-round tender, first of all, you get right of first refusal, so you could match the contract. But if you don't and you give them a first-round tender, that team that signed them owes you a first-round pick. All right, not a bad deal there, depending on the player. The next one is a second round tender, $5.66 million. You give the player a second round tender. They have the ability to sign that for a one-year $5.66 million deal, or they can decline it. You can try to negotiate it, or you know the player can go and negotiate a contract elsewhere. If they sign that, then the team has the right to match it. And if they don't match it and they go elsewhere, you get a second round pick in return. And then last but not least is a right of first refusal, which is a $3.45 million deal, one year, 3.45. And it gives you the right to match any deal But if you don't match it and the player signs with the other team, you get nothing. All right. So you don't get a first, you don't get a second, you get nothing. But you have the opportunity to match it if you want that player back. And again, that's a $3.45 million deal. The other option is that you can just say, we're not going to offer them. We're not going to tender them a first, second, or right of first refusal. And in that situation, they just become an unrestricted free agent. Okay. The players on this list are not your core Packers players. It's not starters. It's all depth pieces. That group includes Darian Kennard, Emmanuel Wilson, Chris Brooks, Josh Wiley, Aaron Mosby, Brenton Cox, Jonathan Ford, and Zane Anderson. For the record, in this last wildcard game against Chicago, every single one of those players besides Zane Anderson was on the active 53-man roster. And in fact, all of them active for game day, if I remember correctly, Darian Kennard, Emmanuel Wilson, Chris Brooks, Josh Wiley, Aaron Mosby, Brenton Cox, and Jonathan Ford. Those were seven of your 53 active players going into your playoff game. That's not an insignificant portion of your team. And Zane Anderson would have been if he wasn't hurt. That would have been 8 of 53. Here's the unique scenario and situation is, I'll say this right off. None of these players are getting a first round tender. None of them are getting a second round tender. So you have to go through each of these and say, would we pay them a 1 year, $3.45 million deal? If the answer is yes, then you tender them. If the answer is no, then you do not, and they become unrestricted free agents. So let's go through them. The first and most interesting one, the one where I could actually see Goody giving a right of first refusal tender, is Darian Kennard. Remember, Goody traded away a 2027 sixth round pick. So he hasn't even really paid for this player yet from a draft pick standpoint. And I could see a world based on the sixth offensive line and the depth that he provided where they're like, offensive linemen are really tough to find. We will absolutely give a solid backup a 1 year, $3.45 million deal. In fact, I would expect that they do that. Now, I am not a Darian Kennard guy. PFF had him graded much better than I did. So if you are a Darian Kennard guy or girl, then you go to PFF. If you are not, then check my grades. I had him as one of my lowest graded players on the season. In fact, I think he was the lowest graded player on a per snap basis on offense for me, and just was not a fan of that he played. And so I'm not offering this if I'm Green Bay, but I bet Green Bay does. Maybe there's something still there. Maybe there's some building blocks that you can still work with, but I wasn't ultra impressed by Darian Kennard. But he's probably the one player on this list that you could at least make an argument of like, hey, offensive linemen are really tough to find. 1 year, 3.45, we can live with that. And you give it to him. He's not going to sign elsewhere. You get him back on that deal and you get him for one more year. That's my expectation for Darian Kennard. But again, if it's me, I'd probably go in a different direction. Let's go to the running backs next. Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks. I can't imagine where either of them get $3.45 million. If it is, it's probably Wilson. I know they think highly of him. I think that's probably too much. I would expect that both of them are non-tendered and become unrestricted free agents, and Green Bay immediately starts working towards a deal that's cheaper than $3.45 million. I think they would love to keep both of these backs around into training camp. Maybe they only do one, but I would think they'd like to have both out there competing. I just don't think it can be for 1 year, $3.45 million. So if it's me, I'm not tendering them. They're becoming unrestricted, and I'm going to have conversations more in like the, 1.5 to 2.5 million range on a 1 year deal. I think the 3.5 basically is just a step too far for either of those backs. Maybe Green Bay feels different. If they do, it's probably about Emmanuel Wilson, but for me, no restricted free agent tender. Try to get both back on cheap one-year deals in unrestricted free agency. Next is Josh Wiley. This is a pretty easy decision. You're not going to tender him anything. And then you try to have probably like a one-year vet minimum discussion to come in and compete in camp. And if he doesn't, you're probably not losing sleep over it. If he does, awesome, compete. He probably still doesn't make it out of camp, but he did show some flashes, little receiving chops over the end of the year with some of the injuries at tight end, including to Tucker Kraft. But he'll have to earn his way on if he does find his way back. Aaron Mosby, this is a similar situation where they're not going to tender him, but I would expect that they want him back as that sixth defensive end and special teams guy. He's got a lot of value there. He's a good special teams player. He's really kind of come into his own on that. And in the meantime, he gives you some depth at defensive end too, where again, he could be the fifth or sixth defensive end on the team. So I don't think he's going to get a restricted free agent deal, but I do think he will try to be brought back by Green Bay. Brenton Cox, maybe a ultra thin chance that he gets the 3.6. I would be pretty dang surprised though. He's a good player. He hasn't really flashed a ton. This is another one where I don't think he gets a restricted free agent tender. And I think Green Bay tries to bring him back on like a $1.5 million deal with some minimal guarantees, but he could easily go elsewhere too, if that's the situation. Once you rescind the restricted free agent tender or don't give it to them, they become unrestricted free agents when unrestricted free agency opens. So they're going to have an interesting conversation on Brenton Cox. I think they bring him back on a cheaper deal. I don't think they give him anywhere close to the $3.45 million. If he doesn't like it, he probably has to go elsewhere. Jonathan Ford, the defensive tackle they picked up from the Bears, who was a former Packers seventh round pick. Again, no chance that he gets the restricted free agent tender, but I could see a world in which, again, they try to bring him back. He would probably have to be a vet minimum. I don't think he has much value to Green Bay outside of that, but if they could get him back on a one-year vet minimum where he can compete in camp, I don't think they'd be upset about that at all. And last but not least is Zane Anderson, core special teamer, good safety. Don't think you can get to 3.6, but 1 year, $2 million. I could go for Zane Anderson as depth and special teams. I think he's good at it. I think he's actually a better safety than maybe gets credit for. So yeah, 1 year, $2 million with maybe $300K to $400K in guarantees. I'd be totally cool with that for Zane, but you can't give him that $3.6 million deal. To me, the only player on that list is, you know, Darian Kennard that you could even consider. And if it's me, I probably don't. But you do have a group there where if they all get non-tendered, you all of a sudden have all of them become unrestricted free agents. And I don't think you want to lose all of them. I don't think there's anybody on that list that you're necessarily losing sleep over, but there's probably a couple that you would like back. I would like Chris Brooks back. I think he's a really good pass protector. I wouldn't hate Emmanuel Wilson coming back. I think Brenton Cox could make some sense. Mosby makes some sense. Zane Anderson makes some sense. Maybe even Darian Kennard. So Green Bay's going to have to manage those carefully, because you never know what other teams might be lurking once they become unrestricted free agents after you don't give them a tender. If somebody else, you know, signs them, well, all of a sudden you don't get them back. So they're going to have to be a little bit careful with how they go about doing that, but I'm sure they will. It's, again, they could lose all of them and it's not going to affect the season in any significant way, but they're going to have to kind of pick and choose and see which ones they want to prioritize from that list. It's me, or my guess is at least Darian Kennard, and then maybe one of the running backs and probably one of the defensive ends, maybe Zane Anderson as well. That's all I got for you today. This is why, by the way, I always get very upset when anyone says, oh, you're just clickbaiting. I understand. We spent an inordinate amount of time talking playing time escalators, and we talked, you know, Brenton Cox contract, and we even brought up Lasita Smith. This is not for the weak at heart. This is not for the faint at heart Packer fans. It just feels like these are legitimate conversations that Green Bay has to have. And listen, I know it's probably not the sexiest episode, probably didn't do the best numbers ever today, but it's fun to talk about. And I think it's a really interesting look at some players that have been important at times for Green Bay and whether or not Green Bay brings them back or not. Should be worth keeping an eye on this offseason. We went over cut candidates. We went over unrestricted free agents that Green Bay should resign. And then today we went over playing time escalator players, exclusive rights free agents, and restricted free agents. And soon, very, very soon, we might be talking some trades as well. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much again for being here. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Pilata, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhart, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, John Mark Lydell, Nemo, Jay Conner, Donald Decker, and Damon Hartley. I'll see you guys all soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.